Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. The first thing I'm going to bring you is a list and the names of the full moons that we're going to have during the coming year. I know you've all been waiting for that information, so here we go. The full moon is the most visible feature in the night sky, and it has always captured mankind's attention and his imagination. Throughout history, cultures around the world have focused upon the moon, fascinated not only by its beauty, but also by its predictable monthly cycles. Legend and folklore have provided a plethora of names for the annual parade of full moons, many of them associated with the prevailing weather conditions or agricultural activities that are concurrent with the month of the season. Many of the names can be attributed to the Native American tribes we're living in the eastern United States. But other full moon names can be traced back to medieval or even pagan times. A full moon occurs every 29.5306 days in a period referred to as the lunar cycle. And here, my friends, are the coming full moons on February the 16th. If you'll still be up, you won't have retired yet for the evening, but at 5:49 p.m., there will be a full moon, and it has been referred to as the snow moon, the Hunger Moon, now there's an interesting title, or Opening Buds. And on March 18th, at 2:18 in the morning, another full moon, referred to variously as the Worm Moon, the Sap Moon, the Crow Moon, or even the Lenten Moon. And on April the 16th, at 1:56 p.m., you will see the Pink Moon, which is also referred to as the Grass or the Egg Moon. And on May 15th, at 11:15 p.m., you can stay up just a little bit longer and see that one. That's the flower, the planting, or the milk moon. On June the 14th, at 6:52 a.m., a lot of you folks are getting up at about that time. You're going to work, or you're going out for a run, or you're headed for the gym to work out before the rest of the day begins. And that's called the strawberry moon, the rose moon, or the flower moon. And then on July the 13th, at 1:38 p.m., we have the buck moon, the thunder moon, or the hay moon. And August the 11th, 8:36 p.m., the sturgeon moon, or the green corn moon. And then in September, on the 10th, at 5 a.m. in the morning, There's the harvest moon. October the 9th at 3:56 p.m. The hunter's moon. On November the 8th, 5:03 a.m. The beaver moon, or the frosty moon. And in December, 10:09 p.m., December the 11th, we'll have appropriately the cold moon or the long night. If you've been watchful, you'll know that in December, we have very few hours of daylight, very much different than a month or two earlier. And then, if you can wait until January the 6th in 2023, at 1:17 p.m., that moon is called the wolf, the old, the cold, or the storm moon. Now think of this. The moon can appear full for days. Technically, there is one moment of 100% lunar fullness, but to the casual observer, the moon appears to be full for a day or two before. That's the waxing gibbous moon. And after, and that's called the waning gibbous moon. Now this year, we're going to be treated to two total lunar eclipses. One's going to be on May 15th and 16th. It'll begin about 8:32 in the evening. And the second one is in November, on the 8th of November. And that eclipse begins at 2:02 in the early morning. So you'll have to stay up a little late or put your alarm clock on so that you can get up and see it. And that is my information on the moon for this period. What about spring training this year? You think we're going to have one? Well, Major League Baseball has locked out the baseball players, and that could cost fans yet another spring training. We're not supposed to care about spring training, right? If the lockout drags on and spring training starts late, it's no big deal as long as the regular season starts on time. That's what we're told. Besides, spring training games are completely meaningless, we're reminded. It's impossible to judge a team by its spring training performance, or else the Giants' 107 victory regular season wouldn't have been such a shock. Well, teams already know who they plan to keep and send to the minors, or try to trade before they even arrive at camp. But if spring training is so irrelevant, why does it mean so much to the fans and all of the spring training cities in Arizona and Florida? The players will tell you that they're in the best shape of their lives and are anticipating the best season of their career. And we believe them. Every single team feels that it will be in the postseason if things break just right. Fans love spring training. Flocking to Arizona and Florida to escape the cold and snow, getting a close and personal look at their heroes, working on their tans, mixing in some golf and a little bit of nightlife, vowing one day to retire in the land of sunshine. There's a reason why one of every 10 Phoenix area residents is from Chicago, where the Cubs and the White Sox have their spring training camps. The price of spring training tickets is outrageous. And you can go home to regular season games cheaper. But the opportunity to be out in the sun and drink some cold beer and stuff your face with nachos, it's priceless. Spring training, which once featured 60-cent tickets, where you could sit in the sections by yourself, has become big business. Spring training used to be a financial drain on the clubs. Now, it's a valuable revenue stream with free marketing. The Cactus League schedule, which features about 240 games in the 10 different ballparks, brings in, and you won't believe this, $640 million in revenue. And that according to an Arizona economic study. Restaurants and bar owners say that their spring training accounts for nearly 60% of annual business. But here we are a few weeks from when pitchers and catchers traditionally report, and no one knows when spring training will start. How many games can be played, or whether we will have another truncated schedule. Remember, COVID-19 screwed up the past 2 years of spring training. The labor war between the owners and players, with only their second meeting in 54 days occurring recently, may be responsible for the three-peat that we seem headed for. The drop-dead deadline for a new collective bargaining agreement to ensure a full 162-game season is about March the 1st. The deadline for the start of spring training on time, with players needing at least a week to 10 days to arrive with visas and COVID-19 protocols, is about February the 6th. That's pretty close. This weekend, probably. An abbreviated Cactus League and Grapefruit League schedule would be brutal to the local economies. It is devastating for anybody that lives in the state of Arizona, for example. Everybody looks forward to seeing baseball, but more importantly, it's for the economic survival of many businesses. It would be like taking away Christmas and Thanksgiving from the retail business sector. Places like Don and Charlie's in Scottsdale, Arizona, for example. There's nothing like the 6 weeks of spring training, particularly in Phoenix, where 15 teams are located in the valley. If it weren't for the Cactus League, which nearly became extinct in the 1980s, Don and Charlie's would never open. And that, my friend, is not a good omen. Let's hope that we can begin on time or close to it. because our friends in Arizona and in Florida, with their businesses, restaurants and bars and motels and other residences, need it. So you see, there are more people to be concerned about than ball players and owners of teams. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, but we better not wait too long. Let's play ball. It's time now for a brief review of Climate 2021. That year, just passed, was a time for innovation. After a rare pandemic-related dip in 2020, global carbon emissions bounced back with a vengeance. Climate disasters seemed relentless over the summer, from flooding in Western Europe and China to wildfires in Siberia and the American West. And although world leaders made some headway at COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, their new emission reduction commitments don't seem nearly enough to get the world back on track. Even so, this was also a year in which individuals, organizations, and governments started to come together to respond to the climate emergency. It's unclear whether that momentum will lead to the sweeping, systematic changes that the world needs to rapidly zero out greenhouse emissions. But from international agreements to technological advances, some progress is being made. Here are some of the most important climate advances in 2021. Electric acceleration, for example. Traditional car makers have long been seen as an obstacle in the fight against climate change. With internal combustion engines in trucks and automobiles responsible for almost 20% of US carbon emissions. But we might look back on 2021 as the year the dam broke. Car makers from General Motors to Mercedes-Benz practically falling over one another with pledges to electrify their offerings and plow money into battery-operated vehicles. Ford rolled out an electric version of its most popular vehicle, the F-150 pickup truck. And Tesla, a trailblazer in the segment, continued to charge ahead, logging record quarterly profits. And then there was a gust of green power. Offshore wind is one of the world's best decarbonization tools, especially to power densely populated coastal areas like the eastern seaboard. But the U.S. hasn't built more than a handful of these turbines, even as gigawatts of offshore wind power began flowing in Europe and China in recent decades. This year, the U.S. approved its first large-scale offshore wind farm, Vineyard Wind, off the coast of Massachusetts. And construction began in November on this project. Many more such projects are expected in the years ahead. And then there's getting the carbon out. The largest ever facility designed to pull carbon out of the atmosphere and permanently store it underground began operating in Iceland in September. The plant runs on geothermal energy and is able to sequester 4,000 tons of carbon per year. To be sure, that's several orders of magnitude smaller than the billion ton scale that would be required to make a dent in global emissions. And many environmentalists are wary of investing in such projects, saying that limited resources are better used to build renewable power and storage to replace fossil fuels. But other experts argue that developing such carbon capture tools will prove essential to the balancing out of emissions from hard to decarbonize industries like shipping and air travel. There are supporters and there are naysayers on this subject. And then there was a breakthrough in batteries. Secretive U.S. startup called Form Energy entered the public eye this year, showing off its rechargeable iron air battery to the Wall Street Journal reporters in July. The batteries are too heavy for electric cars, but they could be a game changer for the power grid. The new system is made with cheap and plentiful iron pellets. If it works as well as Form Energy claims, it would offer a more affordable way to store renewable electricity and then release it when the sun isn't shining or the wind isn't blowing, making it more financially viable to phase out fossil fuel power plants. And I want to step ahead just a bit and tell you about Language 2021. Looking back at that year, we find that there were a number of words that broke through, and that is one of the words, breakthrough, used to describe an infection, as with COVID-19, that occurs despite vaccination against the disease. Hybrid, to be composed or mixed parts, as an employment model in which employees are expected to mix in-person and remote work. And there's NFT. That means non-fungible token, a digital file that cannot be copied or traded, thus allowing certified ownership of virtual asset. And another word which has crept into our vocabulary and use is deplatformed, to ban, boycott, or otherwise limit the influence of someone on a platform, usually a social media or other public forum. And now, having said that, we're going to ask you to be patient and look ahead and wait for our next program, when I'll be giving you a reasonably good summary of business at a glance. I'm also going to talk about the history of the potato chip. I've been trying to talk about this now for some time, but I'm going to accomplish that in our next program. And also, one of the topics ahead is the Great Killer Asteroid Crash Test. In other words, the DART project seeks to keep them from getting to Earth. And with that, I'm going to be saying goodbye for today. You be safe, stay healthy, be kind to each other, and please come back, because we do enjoy having you around. We want to entertain, inform, and sometimes amuse you. So my friend Willie Nelson and I are about ready to take our program down the road, looking for items to include on a little of this, a little of that. Willie, it's time for us to take our leave and wish these good friends goodbye for today. See you soon. Bye-bye.